Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
And welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am joined by the wonderful Ariane.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you for joining me. We will be talking about the lovely topic, a topic that, unfortunately, many in America are well aware of. We are talking about some health issues related to being overweight and being obese. And I am specifically going to be referencing a article that was put out by the Huffington Post. I've looked through this article. It's pretty lengthy, and it was pretty popular on social media as well. They had some really great photos that went along with it that I really enjoyed. And they went into some anecdotes. The author interviewed some people talking about their experience with obesity and some of the ways they felt society had treated them. And in particular, this article was saying that the way that we view obesity and the way that we view people who are obese is incorrect.
Right.
And I felt that was interesting. I think probably personally convicting for me in some ways. But I'm just going to start off with some facts that they gave to kind of set the stage. And I'm sure, as we're all aware, cases of obesity in America have been on the rise. They are quoted in this article of saying that more Americans live with extreme obesity than with breast cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and HIV put together.
That's crazy.
It is insane. And I'm sure I'll be saying throughout this podcast how crazy these stats are.
Yeah.
Because it was overwhelming and sad, actually. Because they also said that not just America, but as our world as a whole, cases of obesity are on the rise. And there hasn't been a nation that has really found a way to curb this growth.
Right.
And that was just depressing.
It was. I liked this article, actually, because I've always heard that, you know, just because someone is overweight there, they can still be healthy. Mm-hmm. My aunt is an RN, and she would tell us this all the time when I was like in seventh, eighth grade. So she'd be like, just because people look like they're overweight, they can be healthy on the inside. And I would be like, okay, if you say so.
Yeah, that's what I really felt was great about this article and what made it interesting, not just like health facts that I felt like I heard in school. And one of the things they were saying is that America basically obsesses over weight, and that also affects children. Children obsess over their own weight, and one of the things they said is nearly half of 3 to 6 year old girls say they worry about being fat.
That's so sad.
It's 3 years old. That's right. So depressing.
I've heard of little kids say that too.
Yeah,
and I think it's with all like the social media imaging that you see that's not even real at that, and these girls are held to that standard.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I just, I'm going to keep saying it. That was just really sad. but one of the things they were pointing out is that they were saying on average, overweight people have worse cardiovascular health, but generally speaking, like exercise, diet, and overall lifestyle are better indicators of overall health and health risks, such as diabetes.
Uh-huh.
And like how diabetes is often associated with being overweight. And while that may be the case on average, that can't just be like your one deciding factor just by like looking at someone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just as you were saying. And I think I found this interesting in the sense that I probably judge people too harshly. And after reading this article, I felt like I needed to like check myself just before thinking things like this. And it also made sense. Like overall lifestyle would be a better indicator of your health.
Right.
Because you don't know someone's lifestyle.
Exactly. And I don't really judge people on that level just because I have one of my best friends. Well, she is like my best friend back in Utah. Mm-hmm. She was on the, so what they call the morbidly obese level. Mm-hmm. But she had to get the gastro bypass and the weight loss surgeries to help her. And that's what I don't think people really understand is because they're not, sometimes they're not just overweight because they eat so much or something like that. Like her right. thyroid wasn't functioning properly, so it made it harder for her to lose weight.
Right.
And the weight just stayed on there. So I don't think that we really look at that too, because there might be a reason that not just because, you know, they just eat unhealthy that they're overweight. Like there could be a deeper meaning behind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I definitely felt that that article addressed that. I wouldn't say as directly as maybe I would have liked, like talking about some of those specific mm-hmm. health issues that can cause being overweight. But they did say that like a lot of times those who are overweight sometimes will avoid like going to the doctor or something, which can cause more risk, but they avoid going because they feel like doctors judge them immediately based on appearance, just by looking at a patient right. before even trying to figure out what might be the cause of that obesity mm-hmm. or like what is someone's like eating habits or exercise habits or like family health or things right. that you can't like know just by looking at someone
or experiencing the truth about, you know, what's going on mm-hmm. like underneath the skin, you know what I mean? Because right. sometimes that's hard to hear too, and it's just scary to hear mm-hmm. so you're just like, I don't really want to know, and if I'm fine right now, then, you know, I'll just hold off from going to the doctor, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I feel like that was someone that was difficult to hear of a lot of people saying in like anecdotes throughout this article, saying that they felt shame of even going to a health professional.
Yeah, that's so
sad. I was very saddened by that. But I could definitely see that. Like, you sometimes you don't want that news or condescending look.
Right.
And they were also saying like sometimes doctors do feel like they are doing what is right by kind of like a tough love type of thing, or like mm-hmm. something that they feel might help a patient that they view as overweight, saying like, oh, like you need to just do this, like you need to lose weight. And sometimes they can say that a patient needs to lose weight and that the weight is the cause of their illness without mm-hmm. even looking into what might actually be the cause exactly. of their illness, which is just really unprofessional in
my
opinion.
It really is, because them being the doctors, they should know these patients, their patients, like health history, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So for them to just like try this tough love thing, I don't feel like that's very fair, because if you know your patient's health history, you know why they're obese or they're unhealthy in any way. And for you to just be like, well, you just do this, you know, you right. have to do this. Like, oh, well, why don't you talk to them and be like, well, maybe if we can switch one thing at a time mm-hmm. or take baby steps, let's get you through this. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, for sure. And they were saying that medical students receive an average of just 19 hours of nutrition education over 4 years of instruction, what? Which is actually five hours fewer than they got in 2006. And sometimes that can cause like trouble in practice, uh-huh. especially because most of the time doctors only get like 15 minutes or so with a patient. And so if someone comes in, not necessarily for their weight, and they just come in for other issues, uh-huh. a doctor is encouraged by the medical system to always talk to a patient about their weight, but they might not have the time in an appointment to go over like nutrition or exercise or right. to figure out what is going on. Right, right.
Okay.
But the system is often wanting doctors to do that. And I also read in this article that sometimes before they even see a patient, like when they're going through, like when a patient is with like nurses and getting like height and weight and blood pressure and uh-huh. everything, before a doctor even sees them, a like little thing will pop up on their notes that this patient is overweight, and it encourages them to talk about that patient's weight.
Okay. Is it like an automatic thing, or does like the nurse say something or type something like a quick message?
I wasn't sure. I feel like this article was saying like if doctors have like electronic uh-huh. Like records of someone, that will pop up. But like if they're briefing themselves before seeing the patient on the computer or something, that'll pop up. Okay. But I'm sure that also happens like if a nurse just goes to the doctor and
right.
says that.
Okay.
You know, it's like I can hear them talking about me before they come into my appointment room. Sure. So I'm sure they say a lot of things about other patients.
Exactly.
And also one of the things that is related to people who overweight not wanting to go to the doctor is that oftentimes people who are overweight who suffer from anorexia actually suffer longer than those who may be a lot skinnier than them. Mm. And that is sometimes because our society has had like the idea of like, this is what an anorexic person looks like. So you may not be able to spot anorexia in someone who is overweight, but they still suffer from anorexia. Like, it's not just physical, it's also mental.
It is, yes.
And so sometimes they avoid, like, they don't get that disease treated or diagnosed by a doctor or by others around them because the doctor might still not see anorexia. Mm-hmm. Like, if a patient goes in and says, like, oh, I'm not eating. Like, there were so many sad stories of a patient going in and being like, I'm not eating. And basically the patient feeling like the doctor was encouraging that to lose weight. Yeah. And
I've seen, and on another note on the anorexia thing, I've seen mm-hmm. websites that encourage the whole anorexia thing. Like, I don't know. And just like seeing the pictures, I've seen some pictures on articles and these people are so skinny and mm-hmm. and then the comments are like, you look so wonderful, keep going and all this stuff. It's right, like, no, right. Because these people might die soon. That's horrible. Why would you encourage that?
And they like often will have like body dysmorphia, I think is what it's called, where they're not seeing themselves as that way.
Right.
And then to have other people who are seeing them like truly and then telling them that, like, that's
and that's a true,
so harmful.
That's a true thing, too, because my best friend, she still sees herself as the bigger person mm-hmm. she was. And even I've told her, I'm like, wow, you've lost so much weight. I never really noticed how big she was until after her surgery. And then I went back and looked at pictures of mm-hmm. us together and, you know, just nights that we chilled. And then recently, and I'm like, holy wow. And she's like, no, see, I still see that person when I look in the mirror. And I was like, that is crazy because we share the same size shirt now, you know?
Right. Yeah. A lot of people do have that. And especially people who go through surgery like that, mm-hmm. where it's so sudden, they often don't see themselves like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and keep talking.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. So we are going to continue talking about our topic of obesity and some of the ways that that is viewed in society. And one of the things that I thought was interesting about this article, the specific Huffington Post article, was that people who were overweight often said that they were discriminated against in the workplace. And like mm-hmm. when you apply to a job or things like that, they always have a disclaimer, you know, like, we don't discriminate against like ethnicity or gender. And actually, Michigan is the only state that prohibits workplace discrimination based on weight.
Wow.
There is no other state that has any regulation like that.
Go ahead, Michigan.
I know. I was like, good for you. But unfortunately, there is a stigma typically against people who are overweight. And apparently, research has found that larger Americans, especially larger women, earn lower salaries and consistently find that they get hired less and promoted less than others. Mm-mm. And I was just like if you just really want to like stack on the like discrimination that is already added, like along with already society and like bullying and comments.
Exactly.
You don't need that in the workplace. And I also another thing related to this is that fat shaming and other bullying can actually decrease life expectancy and can cause other mental health issues.
Like the person that's the victim of the bullying
or
of the fat shaming? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it had an effect on the length of life.
I don't know how they studied this because like longevity studies are really difficult to do, mm-hmm. but they said it can definitely affect mental health, and I'm sure this can probably contribute to other things like depression or just like mm-hmm. low self-esteem, right. which can also affect physical health and longevity.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I thought was very interesting is they quoted a researcher who studies stigma at UCLA.
Okay.
And she said that essentially we as like a culture in an evolutionary standpoint are trained to look at bodies that look different than ours in a negative way. Like if you were in a tribe and someone looked different from you, uh-huh. they could be seen as a threat or someone who might be sick, or there's like a reason they look different, and that could be have a negative impact on you.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was like, that makes sense. And it's because they said children often, the thing that children use the most to bully other children is weight.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And mm-hmm. I think they said that's kind of like, not like as an excuse about it, but that it is sort of ingrained in some of our biology.
Yeah.
That would be like an early thing that kids would use to bully others. And they even did some studies where like children were trained, or not trained, but taught about obesity and about like health issues related to weight and things like that, mm-hmm. and were able to actually repeat facts back about like this may, you know, like obesity is not always the fault of the person who is obese and things like that. But then once they were released back onto the playground, they still made fun of other children who were overweight. And so I was like, that's so sad.
How does that help then?
I think they were kind of trying to say that this is like a problem with our children, but also a problem with society.
Uh-huh.
And like if you see an adult doing this or like viewing someone who is obese negatively, uh-huh. that can also increase children being bullies towards other people who are obese or overweight.
Mm.
And I just, that's like so sad that children already do that.
It is.
Such an early age.
It is.
And they're already like 3 to 6 already be concerned about being fat.
Oh gosh. The little girl's view on what's, you know, socially acceptable mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. hard anyway. My daughter's sister from her dad's side is like that too. She'll like the parents, well, the grandparents will tell her, well, you're just a little chunky thing, or you eat too much. And then when she came to stay with me one time, she was just like, oh no, I just eat too much. So that's just all it is. I was like, who told you that? I was like, girl, if you hungry, eat.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you're supposed to do. You are a growing child. You need that in your body.
Right.
I felt so bad for her. I was like, when you live with me, you eat what you want and don't even feel bad about it. Okay.
Right. For sure. And I feel like it's also like the responsibility of a parent just to make sure you're eating like good food.
Exactly.
You know, like you shouldn't, like a child should not be concerned about how much food they're eating.
Mm-hmm. They should not.
Yeah, as long as you just get, like, healthy eating habits, like, I don't know.
Right. And either way, they're growing up anyway.
Right,
she's
exactly.
definitely the kid that's, you know, she's going to stretch out of that, and it's going to, like, it's just, like, baby weight, you know?
Right, for sure. And I could see how, like, that type of, like, being taught that as a child would just contribute to future issues mm-hmm. about your body. And that's so sad to hear.
Poor girls. Boys get that, too, though, especially with the bullies.
Sure.
I think it's harder than on them, not probably at home, but at school.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that this article pointed out is that sometimes, like, being in a minority group, you can often feel a sense of, like, community or a sense of belongingness to those who are like you or in that same minority group.
Okay.
But scientists were saying that with those who are obese, that's not necessarily the case. And some of that is internalized, like, I should not be overweight mm-hmm. and I should not look like this. And a lot of other people like that they quoted who were overweight said that they view other people who are overweight like also negatively.
Really?
So it's not creating a sense of, there's not like a sense of community amongst people who are overweight.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. And I was like, that's so, like they were saying like someone who is like gay has like a moment of coming out. And they said that never happens to someone who is like overweight.
Well, you know, because it's more obvious, I think. It's more, you know, obvious to see that somebody is overweight than, you know, to catch the someone who's homosexual to just be like, oh, I'm like this. Because some of those you can just tell, you mm-hmm. know, not that it's a bad thing, but to actually say it to their families is hard enough. But, you know, you don't really need to tell your family, hey, I think I'm overweight, when you can obviously see if you are or you're not.
Right. And but, I think, and they were saying, mm-hmm. like, there's never a moment of, like, pride of like accepting how your body is or who you are, you know.
I think that needs to be taught to everybody though, because it's like you are who you are and just be happy. If you don't like it, there's always a way that you yourself can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like a health concern, like if there's a reason why that you can't lose weight, then, you know, go to the doctor, figure out how you can get the situation handled, you know what I mean?
Right. And I think just like the idea of empowerment is so important for anyone, you mm-hmm. know, and any individual. And like, Yeah, like you were saying, like if you have an issue or you feel like this is a health concern, like you should be able to feel like you can address it, but yes. You shouldn't feel bad about yourself.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Nobody should feel bad about what they, you know, who they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Another stat related to this, that they were saying that since 1980, the obesity rate has doubled in 73 countries and increased in 113 others. And although no nation has really figured out how to reduce this rate, they have seen that like diet is the leading cause of death in the United States. Oh, and it's wow. responsible for more than 5 times the fatalities of gun violence and car accidents combined.
That's an interesting stat because, you know, if it's increased the whole time, then, you know, it would be more, you would think that it would be more socially acceptable right. if it's increasing in all these countries. It's like, oh, that's what it's supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's definitely what this article is trying to get at, is like, this is a growing problem and we still treat people this way badly, even though there are more and more and more people right. who are struggling with this, you know? And I think that was something that I'm really glad they pointed out, is that we have all of these kind of like sad and depressing facts, yet still we haven't really addressed it as a culture. And right. we still kind of view it negatively or kind of just put the blame on the person who's overweight mm-hmm. and just expect them to change themselves.
But I actually like the fact that a lot of, what are they called? Models. They're mm-hmm. doing a lot more plus size models as far as, you know, getting comfortable with who you are. Like I see a lot of those in magazines now and online ads for their clothes or, you know, whatever, that they will have, you know, your stereotypical, you know, tall, gorgeous model, but then they'll also have, you know, this plus size and they're gorgeous also. Mm-hmm. So I like seeing that too, just for them to be comfortable with who they are. And right. you know, they're not alone.
Right. Yeah, I've also noticed that, and especially like in clothing stores mm-hmm. where they'll have sections like plus size, but as opposed to it just being like, oh, plus size, like they'll have like some really great like posters and like pictures of models and everything. And they like, I feel like stores are trying to make it more normalized and more acceptable and more like beautiful.
Yeah.
As opposed to just having like a little section in the corner, mm-hmm. you know,
exactly.
With like no advertising.
Right. Or where you have to go ask like the clerk, do you have this in like a double X right. or something, like right. all on the hush hush. I like that they're putting it out there. Like, no, you're cool. You look good. Feel good.
Right. You're not like trying to like smuggle something yeah, bad in the store. Exactly. You're just trying to get clothes.
Right.
Yeah, I've definitely appreciated that. All right, we're going to take one last break and then we will come back and talk about some diet and exercise prevention.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. So I would like to clarify that we will be talking in this section about diet and exercise that can help prevent weight gain and health promotion. So one of the things that they pointed out that can help promote good health and overall well-being is that a major source to look at and to concentrate on is diet. Mm-hmm. And they said what you should be concentrating on is nutrition and not necessarily the calories that are in food.
Okay.
So there are like some types of foods that like you should be considering more and certain like health benefits of certain foods. Mm-hmm. For instance, they said that people who eat nuts are like 4 times a week have a 12% lower diabetes, like instances of diabetes, and a 13% lower mortality rates, regardless of weight.
I like that because I just recently have a newfound taste for almonds.
Oh, yeah. Almonds are great.
When I was a kid, I hated them. I was like, nope, not eating those. They're just nasty. But now I'm like, oh, a little bit of salted. Those are pretty good.
Slightly roasted.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I really appreciated how specific this one fact was. I was like, all right, well, I'll increase the amount of, you know, mixed nuts that I'm consuming.
Exactly.
All right, that's good to know. They were also saying that if someone is going in for care, like nutrition counseling or any sort of counseling related to weight, mm-hmm. that they were stressing empathetic care. So as opposed to just like someone saying you need to lose weight, they were saying like empathetic care where someone can really spend some time to talk about what you eat and to understand maybe some of the causes of your weight gain.
There
sort
you
of
go.
Someone like a between like a counselor and a dietitian.
So you don't get that just doctor tough love, you need to do this thing.
Right.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And they said that those who are seeing people who are more empathetic to their weight gain have like a longer track record of sticking to a good diet mm-hmm. and actually losing weight and actually sticking to an exercise program, which makes complete sense.
Right. And I saw this, this one guy who was a personal trainer, and this probably wasn't very good on his health or body in general, but every new person he got, he would just take on one client at a time and he would gain as much weight as they're at. Like the woman was at like 320 pounds. And so when he met her, he was like nice and fit. So he gained up to where he was at her level and they lost the weight together.
Whoa.
Yeah. As a motivation to be like, look, if I can do it, you can do it. Like, let's do this together. Not just, you know, some fit person telling you, oh, keep pushing. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's not very healthy on his body specifically to keep gaining and losing all a bunch of weight. But I thought that was kind of cool that he was willing to do that for his, you know, clients.
Right. Did you see this like at a gym or on TV or something?
It was actually a documentary on I think it was on Netflix or Hulu or I don't know, one of those, you know, ones you don't have to pay for.
oh yeah we know those. I mean, that's definitely a way to connect to a client. I haven't thought about that. I mean, right. Yeah, I don't know how good that was for his health, but I could definitely see that being helpful as mm-hmm. someone trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, because that's always frustrating if someone's like, oh, just like do it like this. And it's like, well, it's so easy for you.
Yeah. Now look at you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They were saying, though, that unfortunately, often insurance will not cover more empathetic care, you know, because it's not as cost efficient. You have to go mm-hmm. for like longer periods of time and it takes longer. So that's really unfortunate.
It is too, because and I don't like those healthcare services that are like, oh, well, this happened when you were 16, so we don't cover that. And you're like, wait,
right,
what?
Right, exactly. Like, you're supposed to cover, like, my life.
Exactly.
And they did say that the United States spends $1.5 billion on nutrition research every year compared to around $60 billion on drug research.
Oh,
and just,
wow.
like, 4% of agricultural subsidies goes to fruit and vegetables, whereas way more goes to, you know, like, corn, flour, mm-hmm. and sugar. And like those types of things are like oil production, which like,
and you wonder why the obesity percentage has gone up so much,
right?
In all these countries, not just our own, you know?
Right. It's like, where are we focusing our efforts?
Exactly.
And so a final part that I just want to talk about as like weight prevention and a healthy lifestyle is they mentioned exercise. Unfortunately, in our society, we have a very sedentary lifestyle, long commutes and like lack of public transport and like suburban sprawl, you know, where it just takes you longer to get to like the city, maybe where you work or mm-hmm. something like that. And that a bunch of Americans work sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying only 13% of American children walk or bike to school. And that once they arrive at school, less than a third of them will take part in a daily gym class.
Wow.
Which is sad. I mean, I was required to take gym.
Right. You had to run.
Right.
There was
exactly.
no, you can't run unless you actually brought in a doctor's note because your leg was broken,
right.
or, you know, some other severe health concern. Because I even, when I would be like, oh, I can't breathe, they'd be like, you walk the mile then. You
yeah,
don't have to
exactly.
run it, but you can walk it still. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, they were always like, well, you're just going to have to walk it. It's going to take you twice as long.
But you still had to do it, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know what schools these kids are going to.
They're so lucky. Yeah, I know. As we're over here being super lazy.
It was, yeah, you guys don't know. Oh. The mile.
Oh, gosh.
Like, yeah. Every week. And they were also saying that there are some weight intervention programs that can actually be helpful for kids. And they said that although they might not immediately reduce obesity, they do actually increase like lifestyle choices, like increased athletic ability, okay. increased like time spent exercising, reduced like TV consumption. And actually all of that correlates to like improved test scores as well.
Oh, nice.
So they were saying that like, sometimes the results that maybe like the government is looking for of just decreased obesity may not necessarily be the result, but that there are still some positive impacts.
Right. There's benefits in other areas.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that was encouraging that like some of those programs are working in that sense. They also said that there's a correlation in developing countries where there's higher wages for women. There's actually lower obesity rates.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, all right,
pay us more.
I know. So it's about time you guys noticed the benefit. they also said that there was a pilot program in Massachusetts that gave food stamp recipients an extra 30 cents for every dollar they spent on healthy foods. And that increased vegetable and fruit consumption by about like 26%.
So I like that.
Oh, I think that's really good. That makes sense to me. Yeah, all these things, I'm like, that makes sense.
Right,
unfortunately, may not result in data that they like, but, you know.
Benefits in other areas are still good, too, though.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, super important ones that may not be quantitative.
Right. But then they're also, like, a gateway. So, like, if you get more money for spending on fruits and vegetables, then it's like, oh, you eat healthier, which mm-hmm. is, in turn, eventually might help you lose some weight mm-hmm. or get a little bit healthier. And even with, like, the exercise, even if you're just doing it little by little, you'll want to later on maybe build up more.
Right. Yeah. And just general like, you know, like lifestyle choices and
exactly.
like how you choose to like raise your kids, like emphasizing fruits and vegetables or exercise.
Right.
And that's super important. Also, finally, they were saying viewing yourself and viewing yourself in society, like the most important thing that you can have just to help yourself be healthier is self-empowerment. And kind of saying, like, if you are overweight or if you are obese, saying, like, this is who I am and that's okay. And,
right.
like, asserting yourself and saying, like, actually, I want maybe, like, I need, like, a booth with, like, more space at the table to sit as opposed to just, like, a chair in a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something. Just, like, asserting yourself does lead to a healthier life.
Right.
And being able to, like, say, like, I'm okay with where I am.
Right.
And,
you know, comfortable with myself.
Right, exactly. And, like, maybe I need to work on some of these things, but until then, I'm right. okay.
And acknowledging that, too, is just like, yeah, I know who I am. You don't have to remind me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. And just, I think, as we kind of said, like, more body-positive clothing lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, some weight loss companies have actually rebranded themselves, sort of not focusing as much on weight loss, but more of, like, a healthy lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
which I think is all very positive.
Yeah.
So, definitely in support of all of those things. And I just, you know, you should feel good about yourself.
Exactly.
Should
all the time.
All the time. All the time. So thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.